Manila, are you ready?
Ooh, yes, I am. Do you love me?
Bitch, of course I do. Why would you ask that?
I'm just making sure. A listener needs some help on falling out of love.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. Well, I can't wait to see where this goes. So stay tuned.
Forever. Dog.
Mandela.
Latrice Royale.
I'm feeling extra glamorous tonight.
Giving everything you got. Trying to make it to the top. Never ever gonna stop. Even if you get the chop, chop, chop.
Girl, you got the chop.
Don't be a bitter bitch. Just make them eat it, honey.
Welcome to The Chop with Latrice and Manila.
Who's on top?
And who gets the chop?
Let's dive into our week.
Ooh. It has been a crazy week for me, Latrice. I thought that after Pride Month was over, that I would get like all of July to kind of what? Nope, girl, uh-uh. It's still going. We're still booked and blessed, right?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Except now it's hot. So like now being in drag is very, very warm, girl. It's yeah. Very, very warm. So I am sweating my lace front right off my head, girl. I need to do something about this. I'm thinking like, I hear that Botox stops the sweat, but I don't know if I need to get Botox in my hairline so that my
lace. That's what I did. Yes,
did you really?
Season 4, it works, honey. It works. Yes, ma'am. Okay.
So maybe I need to go hit up my doctor. And yeah. Be like, hey, can you just
get juiced?
Get juiced.
Yes, ma'am. Get juiced, honey.
I'm afraid of getting Botox because I don't like the idea of like my muscles being frozen. But if it makes my sweat gland stop, then maybe that's something I need to look into.
Yeah, it don't freeze your whole face. Like when I did it, they went in around my entire hairline and they came down the center of my nose to my temp, like in between my eyebrows. And yeah, it stopped. It was good. But bitch, when it wears off, it's a wrap.
It's like a Niagara Falls.
Bitch, it don't even give you no warning, no like. Ooh. All of a sudden, you're just like, oh my God, what is going on? I'm just, yeah.
Ooh, climate change is real. Us drag queens are like the barometer of the world, telling us like, it's too hot to do drag. We got to do something. So fans out there of drag, when your drag queens are sweating, now you know that Greta Thunberg was correct. And how dare you not do something about this climate change?
It is true. Yeah.
Yeah, it puts me in a really tough decision because I'm literally, I don't know, maybe it's because I've been sitting on my ass for an entire year and a half, for 5 years straight. But I'm like, woo, I cannot, I don't know how the queens, I don't know how I used to do it, girl. I don't know how I used to even get up there and pretend to do an 8 count.
I know. You used to do it now. You cut your little self-step, honey.
Oh, yeah, 8 whole counts. Okay, 7.5 whole counts. Can I tell you this one time it was back in New York City and I thought that I thought I had figured out the 8 counts that every drag queen knows, you know, where you do the arms to the side. Cock, cock, yeah, cock, windmill, yeah, windmill, yeah. Pop,
old
pop, turn around, old Shangela. Yeah. One time I was at the Web in New York City and it was my dance break, girl. And I had been wearing this like really, really fancy pair of strappy studded platform shoes forever. They were my go-to shoe. Like they went with every look. They made it look classy, but hookery, a little bit of like grungy punk rock, but also like, it was beautiful. Girl, I did my 8 count. I made it to the count of 7. I stepped forward and the entire shoe, all the straps exploded off.
Oh, shit.
My shoe went flying into the audience.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no. I was like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't be dancing anymore.
Well, not in strappy shoes anyway.
And I haven't danced since. That was 12 years ago, girl.
Bless your heart. That is just precious. Just precious.
Well, it's what happens when you have, like, you know, when you have, like, a new, like, a shoe, and it's, like, the, your comfortable shoe?
That you your good, yeah.
Yeah, but the reason why it's comfortable is because it's been ripped and broken and torn and
put and through it.
Falling apart.
Yeah.
So ever since then, anytime one of my good old faithful shoes starts to fall apart, I take her right to the shoe hobbler. I have the little elves nail it and glue it back together because it's hard to find a shoe in my size.
Your size, bitch. Try my size.
It's hard to find a shoe in your size.
Your little petite ass feet, bitch, please.
No, but I used to be able to squeeze my foot into like a 9.5. Now what? I would never dare.
I could never in my wildest imagination try to squoze into no size 9, honey. I can't even squoze into a 14. No, baby. Mm. I need all of a 16, 17. If you got it, I'll surely take it.
Where does a queen buy big shoes?
On Amazon.
Amazon.
Pleasers.
Good old faithful pleasers.
Good old pleasers, baby. They take care of the men who wear dresses.
Or the ladies with the big foot.
Or the ladies with the big foot, because there are some females who have big feet.
Yes, it's true. Sasquatchula. She got.
That's Sasquatchula everlasting. Yeah.
I love the fact that like pleaser has like your classic shape of shoe, and you know you could always decorate them to match your outfit.
Stone them, embellish, you know, change it up, add some feathers.
Boot covers. Cover it with fabric.
It's endless of what you can do with a pleaser.
Mm-hmm. Remember that time we just put duct tape on your shoes to give it like cute stripes?
Brand new shoe, mm-hmm. baby. That's how you do it. That's drags. Mm-hmm. That is drags. So have you been in a situation where you've had to like take a break from a friend and just like
yes
be like, look girl, we're gonna need some time apart because you in time out?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, how do you handle that?
I feel like the best way to do it is to just be open and be like, hey, girl, I love you. We're going to be friends. But like for our friendship to last, I'm just going to need to take a little bit of a break. We're not going to see each other or call each other every Tuesday. So wait, are you trying to tell me something, Latrice? Do you need a break from me? Like, you were missing last the last episode.
I apologize, but no, I would never. No, not you. Not you.
How about you? Have you ever had to...
Oh, my God. Several. I have to have sit several people down. And, you know, it's just a matter of boundaries is what happens. It's like when some boundaries get crossed and you just can't... it's a deal breaker, basically. You know, mm-hmm. it's like either never be friends, or I'm going to take a little break, and you're going to need to reevaluate your actions, and we can move forward after you realize the error of your ways. You know what I mean? But I've had some situations where there were just some misunderstandings, and I've let third parties interfere.
Ooh, that's when things get real twisted.
It got messy. It got messy, and it really could have devastated one of my closest and dearest friends and my sister. So thankfully we have moved past that and we have grown, and she's back in my life like she's always been. But
see, that's the thing.
It was tumultuous there for like 3 years, and it was unnecessary because it was just a third party that
kept messing things up.
Yeah, that got in between us. So
it's good to communicate with your loved ones and your friends, and also to be able to give people space and not to really think like, oh, this is the end or this is like a full breakup. Because I have so many friendships that I haven't seen them in years. But when we meet up again, like, bitch, it's like we're back in college. We're reminiscing. Perfect. Nothing has passed. Your entire life. Like, I don't need to be filled in. Like, I got enough of the backstory. Like, I know you so well that like, even if you've grown and changed, I'm still friends with the person that you've become because I've known you from that beginning. So that's important.
And that's a real testament of your friendship because it should be like that. You should be able to just pick up and catch up and move like you just, like time has not even moved.
But sometimes, you need that break because like if you get into that perpetual loop of like just a downward spiral, like you're like, look, I like this friend. I want to keep this friendship. But like if it keeps on this path, then it's going to ruin us both. Correct. And make us both angry at each other. So it's nice to be able to like split, do your separate thing. And then when time's ready, you can come back and join and become friends again. In a different capacity or whatever.
I mean, that's how that go. Well, you know, Manila and I are here to give you advice, and we want to help you determine if you should chop someone or something out of your life. So please send us an email at latricemanila@gmail.com so we can give you advice on who or what you need to chop out of your life. Now, Manila, do you want to read this letter?
I will. Okay, so this one's from Brent. Hi, Latrice and Manila. Love listening to the pod. You all bring so much joy to my week. My husband told me something a couple days ago, and I don't know what to do. He says he's felt like this for a couple weeks. Dun, dun, dun. Mm. He sat me down to tell me that he loves me, but isn't in love with me anymore. Fuck. And is trying to figure it out. He wants to split time between his mom's place, staying with a couple friends and myself instead of living together full time to see if he misses me or feels anything different. I blurted out, couple therapy, as this info kind of rattled me, but he was not that interested and viewed therapy as a singular option of what's right by one person. I don't agree with that, but I'm unsure of how to proceed. Our relationship would be best described as all-encompassing for the first years, and we bonded so quickly and deeply. It's hard to sum up 10 years, but we've had a lot of very high highs. Last summer, when we were in COVID lockdown, we got into a huge fight. After that, I decided to double down, recommit, and be better for him. Over the past year, I've stepped up and been a better partner in all aspects. He actually agrees and said that last year has been really great. He's seen a lot of growth, that we are currently in a purple patch, but he is still unsure if we can give each other what we need in a relationship. We have always been sort of a Dharma and Greg when it comes to expressing emotions. Oh my God, remember that?
I do remember that. Jesus.
He has been very open, but I struggle mightily. I feel sort of embarrassed to verbalize what's happening inside, even though I've come a very long way this year and I still have a very long way to go. I feel like this last year has sort of had a chance to shoot my shot, but it was not enough. I'm not active on social media, and I've decided to creep his Instagram last night. There are photos with all of his closest people in her life except me. I know I scrolled to the end. Even photos of our last vacation together are solo shots or other people we met. I feel like it's juvenile, but it makes me feel less than optimistic and that she's already mentally moved on. I knew things weren't as good as they previously were, but it's such an awful feeling to actually hear this. I feel paralyzed things of all the different ways this could shake out. If you have any advice, please share. I will be thankful for anything I'd be able to use in my life. Thanks, Brent.
Jesus, Brent.
I'm sorry, Brent.
That's hard. That's hard. Like that line, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. That's really powerful and really causes concern because when someone falls out of love with you, that means that there is definitely some things lacking. And obviously love, but but moreover, like there have been some things that have turned him. He's calling her she.
I got confused there towards the end, but like, yeah, it sounds like Brent is a male's name. I don't want to misgender you, Brent. And they said he the whole time until the very last word. They said
she.
It might be a typo. Joseph, will you check in that? We're talking about a guy and a guy, right?
So clearly there's some things that have transpired over the pandemic that fight.
It sounds like before the pandemic. Yeah, I feel like the pandemic was like a breaking point. And as much as they tried to glue it back together, it was already broken. And
right.
Brent, I commend you for fighting for what you love and what you want and to save your marriage. But my suggestion to you is, if you truly love your husband, I think that maybe it's time to relinquish some of that control into their hands and let them experiment the way they want to experiment. And Brent, take this as like an opportunity to learn about yourself. You said you've been together for 10 years and it's scary when you have your entire life for the past 10 years being like part of someone else's, being one of two. So maybe this is time for you to find yourself as a solo artist.
Beyonce, a baby. it is a heartbreaking though. Like, I've been in that position, and the biggest thing and lesson that I've learned throughout my relationships is that you can't expect someone to love you the same way that you love them. Mm. It's just not possible, and it's not fair. Everyone loves their own in their own way and how they choose to. And so the only thing you could do is try to become irresistible and you know, charming, and get back to that spark that made y'all fall in love in the first place.
Ah, yes.
You know,
and in order to do that, you might have to
be
your own free agent. You might have to become like that person. Yeah, exactly. You might have to do it on your own for a while. And, you know, it doesn't seem like they're talking divorce up in here. There's no paperwork or whatever. It just seems like taking some time apart. Which, you know, after last year, like being stuck in home with someone, like if you're having problems in the marriage, like being stuck with them 24/7 for an entire year or so, like might not be the best thing. So maybe they do need, now that we're all vaccinated, you can go out and they can go visit their family or be with their friends, for them to find themselves on their own and you to find yourself on your own.
Yeah.
And see if you can live apart, and if living apart makes you want to stay back together, then maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to go and rediscover yourself and figure out what makes you tick, what makes you happy, and what your needs are, because you've been so consumed with being a partner.
And making it work.
You kind of lost touch of who and what you need. I encourage you to do all of these things. It's not an easy thing, but sometimes you have to give a little bit of freedom and let it go, because like they say, if you let it go and it returns to you, it was yours. And if it doesn't, it was never yours to begin with, you know? So, so I wish you the best of luck, Brent, and things.
I know it's going to be very difficult, but you got this, babe. Besides, you can always come and tune into the Chop, and we will make you smile and make you forget all the things that are like terrible in your life.
Correct.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, Brent. You got this. Everyone listening that's going through a breakup, like, you got this. Take this time to rekindle those friendships that you might have left to the wayside because you were spending all your time with your partner. Let your friends and your family take care of yourself. Find yourself again, and you know, let that be what defines you. And you got this, Brent. All right.
You got it, boo.
If you need any help figuring out what to chop in your life, please send us an email at latriceandmanila@gmail.com and we might read it on the show next week. We will be right back. We got the chop. 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 Girl, you got the chop.
We're back.
We're back. Oh, girl.
Yeah.
Did you watch All Stars, the halftime shows?
Missing. I was so there for it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Pam. So I was like, well, you know, I guess, you know, there's no Snatch Game, but this was gonna be the evolution version of the celebrity impersonation.
This are you kidding kinda... me? They're not making the girls for All Stars 6 to Snatch Game. They are so fucking like all they have to do is like do a lip sync number to Beyonce. Look,
they might have a Snatch Game of love. I don't know. They might.
Maybe.
But to me, this was a really good alternative to that.
Can you first imagine like if Tyra Sanchez or little Kenya Michaels
girl.
Only had to lip sync Beyonce as opposed to like do answer Snatch Game questions,
would have whole been a lot better different situation. Girl, honey, because them Beyoncés have been a fool, honey. Consistently, do not do it.
But Beyonce performing, a drag queen performing as Beyonce is probably way more entertaining than someone trying to like...
Absolutely. Trying to make her funny.
Mm-hmm. I saw Trinity K. Bonet's Beyonce and girl, that was sickening. Even the person that they... Like, at first I was like, did they get Beyonce to sing this? Like, no, they didn't.
Like, I was like gagged. Like, I thought all the recordings were really on. Like, vocally, like, they gave me the essence of all of these artists. So, whoever they got to do the soundtrack... Tens across the board, bitch. I was there for it. I was really entertained, though. Not by everybody.
Who are your favorites?
Oh, my favorite was Beyonce. Gaga was Jan. I was like, because Jan was like, I can do this. And I was like, girl, let's see. And bitch, she got like that performance was it was so committed. That's what like got me for me. Like she was like 100% in it to win it. She had a Gendetta, honey. She was a Gendetta. She had something to prove, honey, and she really did. Trinity K. Bonet, no joke, honey. That whole was Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was giving Beyonce.
What I love most about all of it is that, you know, Bianca had to eat her words and said, I stand corrected, bitch. You all gave her bees, honey. Mm-hmm. Gave her the beehive, honey. Mm-hmm. She was really good. And then, oh my God, what I really was disappointed about was that Carol Channing should have been in the top. I thought Pandora was so great.
It's like
it was out of place. Like, why would she? But at the same time, it's like, this is Carol Channing.
Yeah, that's so funny. I mean, I remember when Carol Channing was on the Super Bowl. No. Do you think that the reason why is because, like, we've seen Pandora's Carol Channing before, so it's like...
We've seen Trinity's Beyonce before.
But not on the show, have we?
Have we not? Who was she before? Oh, maybe she didn't do that for Snatch Game.
I forget. It was that memorable girl. But see, Pandora almost won Snatch Game, the very first Snatch Game. They gave it to Tatiana's Britney, you know, because that was pretty
funny. Yeah, that was really funny. That was funny.
But Pandora definitely I feel like Pandora was more, for me, Pandora's Carol Channing was more memorable. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was because, maybe it's because it's not as relatable to our younger audience.
That's exactly, I think, what it is. It's, well, you know, like, yeah, her Diana Ross was great too. I was not Fergalicious. I wasn't feeling that too much.
First of all, when did Fergie do? I don't even remember her doing the Super Bowl. I don't even know what to compare it with.
Right, that part.
What did you think about Scarlett's? What do you think of a Scarlett's Katy Perry?
Oh, so cute.
Right?
So cute. I was really proud of Scarlett. Like, she's really coming through. And it was so adorable. Uh-huh. So adorable. Prince, though. I was like a Kyria girl. Molly, you in danger, girl.
Ooh.
That was painful to watch. Painful.
You know, you win some, you lose some, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, question mark though. Is this like one of those like Thorgy Thor moments where like the performance, like the song that they give you isn't as entertaining, naturally entertaining as, you don't think so?
Okay. The essence was not there.
Okay, yeah, because Prince is definitely like, Prince has enough personality and things that you can like emulate to do a snatch game. Oh, not a snatch game, but like an impersonation, especially on stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a spitfire. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just didn't get it.
Mm. No.
No.
Well.
That's unfortunate.
First of all, Willem and Alaska are going to be like, girl, you can come in for our gig talking about All Stars.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Sorry,
we were just talking about that because it was a Super Bowl.
It was a Super Bowl. We have to talk about it, right? Okay. Well, can we get back into our inbox?
Okay. All right. So we have from Pete. My lovely darlings, I love when you all give advice. So I'm writing in of help, in need of help. An older gentleman friend of mine, no, we aren't talking sex, LOL, gifted me an expensive suit. The suit with shoes, tie, and belt came out to nearly $1,500. I'm young and poor and so grateful for this. However, I do not know how to show my thanks as I'm not busting with money. I'm working on a house he bought, and I asked him to half jokingly if I could have a suit, and without hesitation, he said yes. Hmm. He owns suit stores in New York. How can I thank him for his very gracious gift? Well,
oh, that's easy. He owns a suit store. It doesn't cost him anything.
Girl, like, that's just, yeah.
That's inventory. That's just inventory. That's like when you're a drag queen and the bar says, oh, we'll pay you in drink tickets. That doesn't cost them shit. You could have $150 worth of drink tickets, but it doesn't cost the bar them shit.
Nothing. Yeah. So,
what's your advice to Pete?
I mean, Pete, you like obviously you say you thank you and wear it and take care of it and wear it with pride, you know, and that's it. Like you
that's
don't have to.
All.
That's it. There's nothing magical or more that you need to do other than that. Like, don't be sending no, pictures and shit.
No, send pictures of you in the suit.
In the suit.
Like wearing it to like special occasions and say like, oh, I'm thinking about you. Thanks for like making me look really like good.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, like that's all your gentleman friend expects from you.
Yeah. Like because, if he's a, yeah, that's.
Yeah. And if he owns a suit store, then of course.
He gotta like that. He
can your
gotta
friend help
like
us up with a suit?
Bitch,
yes. I am a 42 regular.
I'm not.
She's a 42 irregular girl.
Bitch, okay. For real.
Well, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
We is back. Now, sometimes on Drag Race, we see a great sisterhood between sisters, like recently in All Stars with Trinity K. Bonet, and other times it could be a fight. So this week, we're going to top and chop our favorite things about being in a drag sisterhood, working with our sisters, etc. Well, bitch, look. This is a prime example of this right now.
Right now, this is a prime example. The best, the top, Latrice Royale. The friendships that we can create on the show are lifelong, because we go through this traumatic experience
that nobody else could understand if you haven't done it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is. It can be very traumatic because the whole world is watching. So any little thing that you do on the show is forever documented and lives in history as that. So yeah, the friendships that you create are so important. And I'm so thankful for it because before Drag Race, I had very few drag queen friends. You know, and then because I was on the show, like I had something that I could like truly relate to other queens with, and it's been fantastic. What do you think, Latrice?
No, 100%. Like, you know, this is, I always said like that Manila was the best thing to come out of All Stars for me. And here we are almost, 10 years later.
Yeah, crazy, right?
It's crazy. You know, but that's a decade of friendship that we have just like, we've traveled the world together and created and supported each other's merchandise. She's designed my merch. And like it's been an ongoing development of friendship and sisterhood. And doing the chop now, we have this show, obviously, which is wonderful. And something that I can look forward to. And I get my fill. I get my fix in my Manila each and every week, you know? So even though we don't get to see each other like up close and personal all the time, we are here via satellite, and we are definitely always in communication and making sure that we're okay. So yeah, it feels good to have someone you know got your back no matter what. And that's the bond that's unbreakable. And I cherish it. So that's tops for me.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah. And like what I said earlier in the podcast, like there's like a lot of my sisters that I've competed with that I don't actually get to talk to a lot, but we still have that connection. And, you know, that friendship still has that, like, we still have that in common. And because the show lasts on and on and on, it's always calling back and reminding us of those moments that we had together, like, you know, in the hotel, you know, like, kikiing when the cameras weren't off, riding the van from the hotel to the set, you know, like, that all comes back. And, like, you know, the times we get to, like, work together and perform together, that's always, like, a fun reunion. So that's great.
Yeah.
Now, what about your chops? Is there anything about your, like, sisterhoods that is, difficult?
I mean, you know, you don't connect with everybody the same, even though I'm a people person, and I can usually connect on some kind of level with everybody, there are just certain bonds that are stronger than others, and it doesn't mean that I don't like
the person.
It's just that the connection is not the same, and we're not as like-minded individuals when it comes to not only our drag but our life perspective. So, you know, I have goals, ambitions, and I'm very driven, and I like to surround myself around people who are like-minded individuals in that regard. So, if you got your poop in a group, we can roll out. You know what I mean? But I can't stand messy queens. I can't stand. I sound like Gia.
I don't like messy queens. I don't like booger queens. I don't like campy queens.
But it's what it is happens is that I don't like negativity. Mm. Negativity. And it's like a lot of girls come through and come out of the experience. They have a negative experience. And
yeah,
that and then, consumes them. And it and
girl, that, it, you don't have I to tell can't. Me, honey. See, that's no. my chop is kind of like going off that because we are put into this competition. We are always we are introduced to each other in this competitive mode. So I feel like a lot mm-hmm. of times we always feel like we have to compete with each other, mm-hmm. which I feel like is just kind of like how the show works. You know what yeah. I mean? And then the fans are rooting for us and they set us up against each other as well. And then like, so if you had an argument with a queen 10 years ago, and it's being replayed in reruns, people right. are still bringing that up. And it's mm-hmm. like, you can never get past it because it's always constantly being brought yeah. up. So yeah. in the same way that, you know, you're like, oh, I remember these amazing things. You also have to like fight against like, oh, bitch, we had this argument and it's forever there. And people are still bringing it up. Like, what do you still like, you know, what do you think about this girl still after all these years? And sometimes that can be really hard to distinguish between what we did on the show years ago and what mm-hmm. we are like right now. And it's like, sometimes it can really like affect how we view each other, and that's mm-hmm. kind of the sad part for me. You know what I mean? Part. Because because it's a competition, and especially I'm watching All Stars 6, and girl, these girls are cutthroat. Like were we that cutthroat? I don't even remember us being that cutthroat, but like these girls.
Hello.
Because before it was like, oh, just the girls in the top, they were the ones that were voting you off. Now they're like all the lipsticks yes. out of the box and they're like, oh, so everyone here voted against me. You know what I mean? So it's like then you feel like, oh, bitch, everyone was, you know. So I can only imagine that when you're the queen, you know, like say like the first episode, Serena Chacha got all of the things, like, you know, she probably thinks that everyone hates her because they all voted for her. And like, that's got to play into your relationship with your other queens.
Absolutely.
Because even if you think that like, oh, we're all cool now, like we all had fun doing like press week, but then you watch the first episode and you're like, oh, but, oh, yeah.
Right. Oh. That don't match up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that's difficult when you're dealing with your sisterhood. But hey, there are hundreds of us now. Hundreds. You can pick and choose now. You can pick and choose your friends.
That's true.
Right?
And I do. I absolutely do.
That is so funny. Girl, remember back in the day we used to have like, oh, it's probably still there. There was like a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And every season we would add the new girls
and
in.
The girls in.
And then after a certain point, like, I stopped. You know, I was like, there's too many girls. There's too many queens here. Yeah. Like, now there's like 1,000 of us. We got girls that don't even speak English. They're fucking in the Facebook.
Correct. Baby. But that is the growth.
Evolution. Well, those are our tops and our chops.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for listening to The Chop.
And make sure you subscribe to our show. You can rate, review us on your podcast app. We have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday.
And you can send us an email. We might read it on the show next week. We want to hear from you. So email us at LatriceandManila@gmail.com.
You can follow us at Latrice Royale and at Manila Luzon.
And we'll see you next week to find out
who or what gets the job.
Forever.
To listen to The Chop ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
The Chop is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Latrice Royale and Manila Luzon.
Produced by Joseph Shepard.
Editing and sound design by Will Pitts.
Executive produced by Big Dipper, Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is The Chop by Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale.